It's not always what somebody says, it's also what they don't say or do. And in this case, I would argue that the special federal grand jury was meant to keep a lid on the evidence. Why hasn't the EPA publicly disclosed their sample analysis results from 1989 search to the public to help the public understand that it wasn't that bad out there as what the government portrayed? Why did the documents get locked up? I understand mechanically why they did, but in 2004, when Ambush Grand Jury came out, Congressman, I believe it was Udall, I think he was a congressman at the time, asked the EPA and the DOE and the Health Department about the allegations in the Ambush Grand Jury. And, of course, those bodies responded that, you know, they've done a thorough investigation, despite the fact that sample results from the search weren't disclosed. Documents were still within the courts under their lock and key. The workers have made testimonial statements as well as under perjury, notarized affidavits, and they're being it's being discounted by NIOSH and the rest of the government because they don't
What's
have
NIOSH?
I'm sorry. NIOSH is the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. It's the health physics part of Health and Human Services, and their job is to do dose reconstruction. It's a science that I refer to as qualitative. It's not quantitative, so it's subjective. And so there are many parameters for them to develop whether a worker in this job classification may have been exposed and therefore have a malady. And, well, if it just makes sense to me, well, that the government would do everything they can to keep the documents away from the workers so that they can't prove their case. And so as we sit here today, the special exposure cohort petition that the workers have under a certain part of the act, NIOSH and the government have recognized only those workers from 1952 to 1983. But the plant, meaning the facility and the D&D or the remedial action, lasted until 2005. So what about the workers from 1984 to 2005? And it was the bulk of the workers. So is this a numbers game? Does the government restrict the years to when it was less populated at the plant so that the claims won't break the bank, so to speak? Or are we, you know, are we supposed to, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have to develop my own evidence based on what's out there publicly. But in 1975, the Lamb-Worth Task Force had the same recommendation: lifetime benefits for the workers. And this was 1975. So the 2000 Compensation Act somewhat mirrored it, but it's not coming to fruition for a lot of the workers. Many of them are being denied compensation, and it's simple things like DOE saying, we have no record of this employee working for us, which is ludicrous, because not only would there have been leave and earnings statements for a worker, they also had to go through, you know, the Truman Loyalty Act, which meant that they had to be subjected to a full background check and obtain a clearance level. And so there would be two parts to prove that they work there.
In addition to the workers, I mean, what is the legacy, and particularly the legacy of the ongoing secrecy around Rocky Flats for people who live in this area, people who are maybe going to buy houses, for people who are moving to this area who have no idea about the history of Rocky Flats? I mean, what is the legacy of all of that secrecy for future generations?
I have been attending Rocky Flats Stewardship Council meetings for the past 12 months. And Scott Sarovchek in April of 2015 announced that in his presentation, he rewrote the history of Rocky Flats. And he did it in a fashion to make people feel comfortable that live in the adjacent area that they're safe. And he said that the buffer zone, the area around the production facility, was essentially uncontaminated. And that fits into what the Fish and Wildlife folks are trying to do, because last year, U.S. Fish and Wildlife applied for a smoke management permit with the state of Colorado.
For a controlled burn.
For a controlled burn, right. And there's many different phrases for it, prescribed fire. So a group of us contested it, and the health department went ahead and issued it in January with Fish and Wildlife planning to do this burn in the spring. And our group, other groups, with the huge help of the political elected officials, to the point where in early February, the 41 Mayor Caucus came out with a unanimous letter, don't do the burn. And we even tried to meet with the team leader from Fish and Wildlife in January. He didn't show up. Why? I still don't know this day. There's no apology. There's no explanation. There's no discussing it, meaning we've tried and they won't come back. But their premise is that it's safe. There's no contamination out there. And the people that live in and around Condellis, what are they left to believe? If the government is saying it's okay, I've seen some of the disclaimers in the purchase agreements that, you know, there was a Rocky Flats nuclear weapons plant and it's been cleaned up. And if you have any other questions, you're on your own for your own investigation. So, of course, you know, people are probably going to sign up really quick. But what's problematic is that what is currently being represented, that the buffer zone, which is now mostly the refuge itself, was, quote, essentially uncontaminated, is not true. We believe that it's not. I know it's not.